The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or positions of anyone at Innovative SIM Solutions or our sponsors. Beaker Health is not just another learning management system. It's your community-led education platform. We work with your existing systems and allow your members to connect, collaborate, and share their expertise while saving administration time. Your organization can verify what is approved while growing your community and creating belongingness. Visit BeakerHealth.com to learn more. Welcome to the SIM Cafe, a podcast produced by the team at Innovative SIM Solutions, edited by Shelley Hauser. Join our host, Deb Tauber, and co-host, Jared Jeffries, as they sit down with subject matter experts from across the globe to reimagine clinical education and the use of simulation. So pour yourself a cup of relaxation, sit back, tune in, and learn something new from the Sim Cafe.
We're here live at IMSH, and today we have the opportunity to interview Matt Marino. Matt, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and we can get this started.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me to begin with.
Oh, no, thank you for being a guest, and thank you for your sponsorship
of
for the,
course. Of
the
course.
Event. Yep.
So I am new to EMS, joined the organization about 9 months ago as CEO. I have spent a vast majority of my career in the private sector working in education and more specifically healthcare education. So prior to here, I was with Orbis Education, the leader when it came to partnering and program management for nurses and therapists. We also were responsible for building out simulation centers all over the country. So during that time, I got to see a lot of what was being done and what was the opportunity to do more. Prior to that, I spent time with Xerox on their education division, and it all started, my first exposure to simulation wasn't healthcare related, time in the United States military, Army Special Operations community, where simulation was used in a lot of ways, in a lot of scenarios.
Matt, we talked, I can call you Matt.
Yeah, of course,
thank you.
Of course.
I just want to thank you for your service.
My pleasure. I appreciate that you appreciate it.
Thank you. What has been your favorite thing so far at IMSH?
So I'll tell you, this is my first time at IMSH, and what's been my favorite so far? The interactions with people from all different aspects, whether it's educators, whether it's providers, whether it's the government, whether it's our international attendees. What I find so exciting and what I'm liking the most is I believe we're all aware now of what the challenges are, and we're all trying to figure out how to solve the challenges. And when I say that, why that's so important is until we agree on what challenges are, you kind of just drift on solution. But I think it's getting clearer and clearer. What are those big issues that simulation can contribute to solving?
I would very much agree. Well, welcome to first time IMSH.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite simulation story that you want to share?
Favorite simulation story, yes. One of our partners, Children's Hospital. Sometimes the greatest ideas when you're in an organization come from your partners. So one of our children's hospitals took simulation, and as opposed to using it to just train their staff, they're using it to actually train the parents for kids when they're discharged from the hospital to try to improve that at-home care, reduce readmission, better outcomes. And I thought, what a great use of simulation, because we forget how much care now happens at home compared to what it used to be.
And not to mention, when you're in that space, and I think we talked about this yesterday, when you're in that space and it's your child or your loved one, you're not retaining anything.
No.
Everything's in that panic mode. So they simulate into, they videotape it and bring it home. So
they do, and they will actually put them through the simulation as many times as the parents want to do it. And they're measuring. One of the really great things that we've done and innovated is incorporating competency measurement data management into our simulation solution. So we can break it down into very small snippets, as opposed to, did they do well with the simulation or did they not? Let's look at those broken down competencies that live within each event, and let's see which ones they did well on, which ones maybe they need more practice on, and let's focus on that.
Right, and I think until somebody can say you're doing this right, you have no idea. It was just like me when I started the podcast, so, you know.
It's almost trial by fire, right?
Right.
You just do it over and over and eventually it becomes ingrained in you.
Right.
And you get to that comfort level. And one of the things we have to recognize when people are in any learning environment, and I don't care whether you're a student or a provider or a service member, whoever you may be, so much of learning is the headspace. Like, am I in the right place to be learning? And sometimes it takes different people different amounts of time to get there.
And I think, too, there's just so many variables to what gets you in. How do you get into your zone, right? How do you get into your zone? Do you know you're not in your zone?
And I don't think a lot of people do. And oftentimes, when we don't have that objective measurement, and some of the things we're working on right now are, how can we understand what the learner not only is seeing, but what they're experiencing, what they're feeling while they're going through this, to make sure they're in the right place for learning at the time.
And I think something interesting, when I think of that statement, I think of two people walking down the street at the same time. We're both having the same experience, but we're both going to come out of there with a completely different experience.
Absolutely.
It's just like you can go to a family of kids, and each one of those kids is going to have that same Christmas story from a different lens.
All told differently,
yep.
All with different highlights
yep.
within it. And maybe they walk out of there with the same overall feeling, but what resonated, what was the most poignant pieces are going to be different. And when we're being learning, and I believe in learning goes on education, what we do professionally, what we do throughout life is learning.
Oh.
And as you're learning, we all have different ways that it not only works best for us, but how do we help the people trying to teach us so they know what works best for us? That's the next, where we believe the next evolution is let's equip not just the learner, let's equip the people providing the education with knowing where their folks are.
Absolutely. I mean, I most recently feel like if I don't learn something new every day, I feel like I've been gypped.
It's a wasted day. Right?
Yeah,
I'm the same person I was when I go to bed, then I woke up. That's no good. Like,
right?
I should try to get a little better each day,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. What surprised you most since you've arrived? Do you have anything that you've
surprised? Good surprise. I love how open groups have been to discussion. I think that oftentimes when you come to events like this, I've been to them in past lives where people are very protective of what they know, right? It's a holding on to that information. This community, it's really clear to me that let's talk about what we all think and know. And if there's one thing that I totally believe, there's not one organization, one company that's going to, quote, solve these problems. It's going to take an effort in a combination of multiple offerings, solutions, educators, practitioners to get to where it needs to be.
You're singing to the choir. When I like to say knowledge is power, but it's only power if you give it away.
It's the wonderful phrase of, boy, we've got a lot of intelligence. That's wonderful. Is it actionable, though? Do we know what to do with all the things we know, right? What do we do with everything we know? How do we actually take it and apply it to improve? And
right.
That is what I've been most surprised about, is just how open everyone is to having those discussions, even if they're on a very high level. And there's a lot of companies that do similar things to we do. We may have a bit different perspective, but we do some similar things and some crossovers, but even we're having discussions about what we think and whatnot. And it's really wonderful to be someplace where there's so much purpose behind the work. And I think that's what makes this unique in a way.
What's your why, right?
Yeah, and you got to know
why?
It.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of things you can do to spend your time to earn a living and whatnot, but I feel very privileged to be able to do something that matters each day, and more importantly, empower the people who do the work that matters.
Yes,
so,
yes. Recognize them.
Enable
them
to be the best they can be and give them all the tools they need to do the best work they can.
Right, because that's what everybody wants to do. They really want to do the best job they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a question for me?
So I'm very interested. I know you come from a nursing background, and I lived in that world for a long time as well. I'm very interested to know your thoughts as simulation in the nursing profession has seemed to almost gone into this hyperactive acceleration with COVID, almost out of necessity. I'm curious, knowing your background, where do you think this leads to for that specific discipline? Because it's, from a population standpoint and the volume of practitioners, one of the key, most important areas. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
So my thoughts on that are that it's broken right now, and unless something's really broken, you can't start to fix it. So I think we've got, and like you mentioned, all the different industries that are really trying to partner with us and support us and help us. Because if we can work together with people, nurses a lot of times have the solutions because we have to figure it out ourselves because no one else does, right? So as a nurse, you always get that opportunity to, like, take, for example, this podcast. So I got here this morning, I was a nervous wreck. My friends, the IT people, helped me get everything set up. But it's about, nurses are willing to take help from others, so it's about getting help from the bigger global community and how we can all make healthcare a better place.
That's great. It's a great perspective to have.
Thank you. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
I don't. I just really appreciate that you invited me this opportunity to speak with you. And for the audience that you do have, we're incredibly excited about what's next. And
what's next?
We're really looking forward to being an organization that can lead to what's next and leverage technology so that all the people that we support have every tool possible to be the best they can be.
Thank you very much, and happy simulating.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Matt Marino for talking about having purpose behind the work and talking openly together at his first IMSH conference. And now, join Deb and Jared Jeffries as they sit down with Desiree Diaz and Kelly Bryant in the IMSH podcast booth to talk about making connections and the social aspects of IMSH.
Welcome to another episode of the Sim Cafe. Today we're here with co-host Jared Jeffries, and we're very excited to have Desiree Diaz and Kelly Bryant. Thank you for being guests on the show once again. We're honored to have you, and all I can say is thank you. And you guys had us on your little panel discussion yesterday about social media, and it was, we learned, I don't know about you, I shouldn't speak for you, I learned so much, because he probably knows all that.
Well, I just love your two dynamic, you guys are like Tom and Jerry.
That's what everybody says, the chemistry.
It is so, yeah, maybe that's not the right one. You get what I mean. It's just so fun, and you guys bring so much energy and spark, and sitting in the session yesterday was so much joyful, and hearing the chatter afterwards was great too, so.
Thank you. We never get sick of hearing that, so thank you.
Yeah, or your heads aren't going to get too big. You won't be able to
leave
the center.
No, we might have to syndicate it or something.
I know. Make some money off of this.
All right. Well, what has been kind of your favorite thing about being at the conference this year? Anything interesting?
For me, honestly, it's the networking. I love simulation, my simulation colleagues. So sometimes just bumping into people that I haven't seen in 3 years, having a great conversation. But what comes out of that? Oh, I would like you for this research project, or I have this initiative I'd like you to be a part of. So the networking, I think, is what I enjoy the most, and just catching up and just having a good time with my simulation friends.
I would have to echo that. It's, you know, the sim sisters, sim misters, just getting together. It's amazing what happens when you have that like-minded synergy. And it's not that you have to talk about sim all the time, every conversation, but you know, in 2 months I can pick up the phone and say, oh yeah, I saw that person, this person does that, you know. And if you're in other platforms and venues, to have a familiar face, it's just like, oh, okay, you get me.
And we get to take our selfies and post it on social media, and people run up to me, I've been following you for 5 years, it's so nice to meet you. That's
hashtag
fun.
Hashtag simulation.
Jared, any questions?
Yeah, so obviously, we've went through quite the change with the pandemic the past couple of years. What has been some of your favorite things coming back? I don't know if either one of you were in LA last year, but coming back now, kind of in full force with everything going on. What's been your favorites? What are you seeing differently
from last year?
From the past 3 years, I'd say.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
I think it's the energy, number one. You just feel the excitement of people being around, but also the diversity in the mannequins and what's being offered. It's nice to walk around and see some different colors, all variation tonality that you're seeing in the mannequins. Where just 3 years ago, I don't remember that, you know?
And I'm just happy to be back in person because I'm not really a Zoom person, whether it's attending a conference or presenting. I love to see people, their interactions, their facial expression. When I'm presenting, it's hard on the Zoom. I don't know if I lost them. Are they following me? And then coming back here, it's just, I love coming back every year and seeing what's new. Because every time I come back, this is the biggest vendor exhibit they've had. So what are the new products? I feel like a kid during Christmas. I'm like, ooh, what am I going to buy next? And seeing all the wonderful innovations and now the whole XR and trying to figure out, well, which product do I want to start with? So that's probably what I enjoy, you know, the most, particularly from 3 years ago till now, just being back in person.
Technical companies, so it's, you know, it's not Google or Apple, of course, but you've really seen this new life around, you know, gaming engines and sorts of the technical side, which is, it's great to see new players in the game.
It's good to see new players, but it'll be interesting to see how they learn to play our game. Like, you are bound by your institution, right?
Correct.
You can't give me a yearly subscription that costs $20,000. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Or what is the price point per learner? You know, trying to get them to understand our constructs. You know, and it's different between private, public, mm-hmm. university, college, community college.
State. But one of the nice things is that we're face-to-face with these vendors, so we can have a conversation. Like, Desiree is one of the reasons why we have mannequins of different colors. She went to them and said, listen, you're missing something.
Yeah.
And being able to give them that feedback, and if they're smart, they'll listen, because we are the stakeholders. We're the ones using their products. So that's another thing I love about coming here, telling them what we need.
Absolutely. Now, who did you go to, and how did you get that? How did you accomplish that? That sounds like something amazing.
Back then, I had just started my doctoral work, and Pam Jeffries was my dissertation committee.
Imagine that.
Imagine. And just having those conversations, and she's like, Desiree, you know, you don't have a problem talking, so make that opportunity, use that opportunity. And she was someone I really could relate to. She talked about her kids a lot. I'm always talking about my kids. So she's like, if there's an opportunity, just so I was like, all right, whatever. So I stood up. It was the NLN 2008 conference, and I was the director of simulation on four campuses at that time, and there were a $10,000 price difference between white mannequins and black mannequins.
Wow.
So therefore, all the mannequins around the country were all white. Who's going to spend $10,000? So I went up in the NLN forum, and it was one of their biggest what did they call them? Open house, State of the Union, when they put the mics up there for everyone, whatever it is.
Right.
And I just said, can you explain to me why I'm valued more in plastic than in person?
Wow, that was deep.
And I explained to them what it was, and then the company reached out and said, no, I value that. This is why. It wasn't that we were trying to be irresponsive. They had to shut down production of the entire plant and then add the coloring of the plastics and then redo it. Because at that time also, there was like a 4 to 5 month wait for the black mannequin. Then they only had white or black. And then that just proceeded to be a catalyst of them coming back. Then they created more tones. And then you'll notice now they no longer call their tones names. I won't tell you the name of the colors that they used to call it, because you'd be able to figure out. So now it's light, dark, medium, or white, brown, black versus other names to represent, because they were very culturally insensitive.
That's very interesting, and thank you for moving that forward. How about you, Kala? Anything you want to share with us on how you've moved things forward? And you have done a lot of things. I enjoyed your first episode. when you told me about all the things you were doing. And yeah, so go ahead.
Thank you. I think a lot of it is just education. I think when you talk to other educators, they want to incorporate more DEI into the curriculum. They know it's missing. They know they need it. They just don't know how to go about it. So I'm grateful for those opportunities where I get to do webinars or faculty development, where I can give them those steps to get them started and to kind of go over, like, here are some things I recommend. And these are some things that you definitely don't want to do as far as getting DEI into the curriculum and making sure it's threaded and not just a one-and-done type of thing. But also telling people, too, you got to work on yourself first. Before you can go and educate others, you need to really self-reflect and see, where am I at? Because I have my own biases. I want to make sure I don't bring that forward when I'm teaching other students. So that's a lot of the work that I'm currently doing, and in addition to what I'm doing at my university and at the center, which is also, yes, it's great to teach our students, but also look at where we're at. I'm in a community that's very underserved. So I try to find ways that I'm not only here for my students, but what else can I do for this community using my students? So going in a community and teaching them hands-only CPR, or going in and having them do training on opioid overdose prevention because we have such a high rate where I'm at. Going in and doing health fairs, and we identify so many people that have high blood pressure with no primary care provider and connecting them to services. So it's kind of beyond just our students, but really like almost like a service learning project, taking them, you know, teaching them and then letting them apply it in their own community. Those are some of the things I really enjoy.
Thank you. Anything you guys want to ask us, or anything, do you have a favorite memory from IMSH at any year?
It all goes back to what we do after hours, you know, whether it be the after party. I'm a big karaoke here. I'm horrible. But
if you couldn't find it this IMSH, no, I was ready.
I mean, the last conference was iNaxil, and I did rolling, but they did the long version, so we were rolling for a very long time, rolling on the river. So that's
well. Speaking of rolling in the river, because we were doing that on was it Saturday, the President's Ball. I have to say, if I was going to say a memory, we danced our butt off from whatever time for hours. Matter of fact, I think it was supposed to stop at 10, and we didn't. Yeah, it kept on going. So that was fun. As far as from this conference, I had a great time, just partying.
The ball
was
just. I mean, I look forward to it. Get that dress. You know, be out there, have the flats so you can dance.
And also seeing my friends get their fellowship.
Yeah. So it's just a good time. I think it's a good time to connect, to promote other people you're with, to embrace and bring people along. You know, sometimes when they see us on social media or hear us on a podcast, people think you're untouchable, like, oh, there's Kelly Bryant. And it's like, I was like, yeah, you want to grab a coffee? You know, like you're just the human side.
But I have to say, I was like that, though. Because I remember, like, Susie, I was obsessed with her. And when I saw her, I was intimidated by her. And then I remember the first time, she was like, come on, have a seat. I was like, I'm sitting next to Susie. And you, and Pamela Jeffries also was another one. I was like, oh, my goodness, she knows me. And I get to talk to her.
She
I was,
dances, too. A lot.
Oh, she has a good time. Not to talk time. About you, Dr. Jeffries, but yes. And that's another thing I like. I like coming here because it's part education, it's part networking, and I have fun. There's not a lot of those conferences where you can kind of do all three of those things.
And it's really seeing the giants that we all built our career on the human level. I really enjoy that. A book you use, okay, Palagonis, oh, she's here, go find her. You know, I tell our doctoral students, I'm like, that's written our books are here. They're okay.
And very approachable.
Absolutely.
Jared, anything you want to add?
No, it's I just love the energy that you two both.
Yeah. If I had a dollar for every time we heard that.
It's the connections that you make, and you know, thankful we're back in person, and when it comes to connecting and networking is the start, and then you know the solutions that are brought up after for the rest of the year here in 2023 is where the real magic is made as well. So this is part of it.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have to go get your t-shirts. They're at the Sim Ghosts.
I just found the booth.
Okay. Oh, you did find it. Okay.
So you have.
I've been talking about it. I just haven't been able to find the booth. So.
All right. Thank you. And happy simulating.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back again.
Thanks to Beaker Health for sponsoring this week's episode. Thanks for joining us here at the Sim Cafe. We hope you enjoyed. Connect with us at www.innovativesimsolutions.com. And be sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you never miss an episode of The Sim Cafe.